Blog Talk Radio.
Things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. And I'm watching the Army-Navy game, America's game, and my beloved Navy choking once again. I am sick and tired of this. It's too many years. I want everybody fired. I want the coach. I want all the coaches. I want the jockstrap cleaners. I want everybody fired. I'm sick of this. They don't got any Marines on this team? Good God, man. You can't keep losing this many times every year. That's unacceptable. You have any pride? You're the U.S. Navy, for God's sakes. Stand up like you got a pair. Good God, I don't like this. I mean, I understand you can't win every single year. I get it. But good God, man. You got to win at least once. They haven't even scored a touchdown. They're down 10-3. I mean, Army's not really, scoring a whole heck of a lot. But still, I mean, the Navy's had plenty of times plenty of opportunities. I don't know where their quarterback just threw the ball. I don't know what the hell went through his head. Okay, now they got a first down. Okay, they're driving. And now they're on the 50. Well, good for them. You got almost 7 minutes left. Just tie the game. That's all I want. Well, anyway, I could go on and on and on and on and on, but I can't do that. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Number one, Shohei Ohtani. Now, I have talked about that on this show several times, and we're not that far away from the first billion-dollar player. Well, Ohtani is now $700 million with the Dodgers. Well, Dodgers, you just made a big mistake. This kid's going to get hurt, and he's not going to be worth the $70 million a year. I guarantee you it's going to backfire. That is way too much money, way, way, way too much money. And Dodgers, you know, and now other teams are going to do it. $70 million a year? I'm sorry, but that's ridiculous. When you got people now that are working two shifts, eating bologna, can barely make ends meet, and this son of a bitch is getting $70 million a year, I'm sorry, but I find that a little out of touch with reality. That's a little too much. I'm not trying to deprive anybody of earning a living, but jiminy Christmas, that's more than a living. That's ridiculous, and it's going to hurt the Dodgers. It's going to hurt them. You're a Dodgers fan? Well, yeah, you think you're all high and mighty right now. Well, it ain't going to be too long, and that, yeah, it's going to catch up to them. Well, there's a lot of NFL injuries. Well, this is that time of year. You know, this is, you know, towards the end of the season. This is when guys start breaking down, and, well, Geno Smith looks like he's going to be out. He's questionable, but he didn't really practice, but he's not really in when he's in. So does it really matter? Well, they got Locke. So, yeah, they're going to lose. I don't care if Jesus Christ himself is quarterback. Seattle Seahawks are going to lose to the San Francisco 49ers, period. I mean, that's just put that in the book right now. Just put it in the books right now. The spread is something, I think, like 13 or some ridiculous amount, which I think they're going to beat it, to be honest. Well, in any event, we do got to get going. We've got Seth that's growing old. He probably had to shave already twice, waiting for me to finally shut up and bring the show together. Let's do it. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard, and happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, and happy Hanukkah, everyone.
Happy Hanukkah. Shabbat shalom.
Well, we're in Hobgoblin now. It's dark, but yes.
Well, so you're in the dark. Oh, that's right. You can't turn on any lights. Well, I'm in the dark most
of
the time.
Anyway. We're good. It's dark now, Skeet.
Oh, that's right. It's after dark. Okay, yeah. Well, Army just
that's what I said. It's Hobgoblin. It's, you know, Chibuto.
Army just got a turn, or Navy just coughed up the ball, and Army just went down and scored, and now they're about to score the extra point. There's 4 minutes and 49 seconds. Navy loses again. I mean, I'm tired of this. This is
unacceptable. Unfortunately, I have family in all forms of the forces, but my dad served in the Navy. My grandfather, his dad served in the Navy. I'm a Navy guy. I want Navy to win this game, but it's over.
Well, you know, when we were in the Navy, we'd go to the bar and we'd all be, you know, of course, we're Navy guys, so we had to get liquored up real quick. We had to get liquored up before we got drunk. This is a Navy way. You had to get drunk before we went to the bar. You know, you had to get primed. I mean, that's totally ridiculous. I can't do that anymore. But we would root for the Army just to be, you know, rebellious and obnoxious. But no, I mean, I'm just sick and tired of watching my beloved Navy lose year after year after year after year. And I want coaches fired. I want action. I want to see the Navy win. And if they're not going to, you know, put forth the effort to win, this is the most important game in the Midshipmen and the Black Knights. This is their Super Bowl, man.
It really is. And on top of it, like, people don't want to talk about Air Force as having a football team.
Well,
when
it
has a better football team historically year in and year out than you to a certain point, or they get to relevant games, and you're like, we're the Navy. Like, we've been here before there was an Air Force. Do you even know when Air Force was created? You might as well talk about
right after World
Space
War
II was created.
Yeah, but this is ridiculous. I mean, I'm looking at this. This is their Super Bowl, and you need that pride back. And again, I understand you can't win every year. Well, Army's been doing that, and this is unacceptable. I mean,
it's now getting to a point where it's not a pride game or moment looking. Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, we're going to lose this again. And why are we even playing this? Ridiculous.
Well, they're both 5-6. So they're, you know, relatively matched. And then normally they are. Normally they're relatively evenly matched. But I don't know. Navy's quarterback last year was awful. Of course, he was their fourth stringer. They just lost all their quarterbacks. But still, I mean, I'm looking at this, and I know they're in the military, so, you know, their concentration is not really on football. But when you look at these guys, they're – I don't know. It just looks more like a little bit of a confused high school team.
We really talk about the organizations and everything and had certain athletes. Remember when David Robinson played for the Navy, and for him to get out of his commitment to eventually go to the NBA, and what he chose to do, it's really rare you ever get professional athletes actually in any Navy, Army, Air Force.
Well, Staubach.
but now you're talking when, you know, 60s. So
he still had to serve a little bit.
You're not talking about ever any of these people anymore ever really having, like, certain athlete calibers in these games. But these games are still hugely important to a lot of people. But the level of competition and play,
Well, I know the competition to play is always going to be subpar, and we got Viper on board. Hold on, Viper, I'm going to get to you. Well, an Army guy just got hurt. But it is more of a game, a pride game for the Army and Navy alum and the fans. That's what the game is for. It's America's game, and it's for the fans. None of these guys are going to go into the NFL, but still. You know, you got to show up. And next year, I mean, I want to see a win. I don't want to see Navy have to sing Army's fight song. And that's what, at the end, whoever loses has to sing the other guy's, you know, song.
You
know, I am sick and tired of this. Well, anyway, let's bring Viper on board. Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
And just like the prodigal son, I've returned.
I have returned. The Navy, our Army Navy game, and the Navy choking.
Which, by the way, just got more interesting. Navy's down by a touchdown and 2-point conversion now with 2.5 minutes left.
Well, wait a minute, I didn't see. Wait a minute, you're way ahead of me. Okay, here's.
I just saw that.
Okay, there it is. There's a touchdown. Okay, well, you've got 2:47 to figure out a way to score another touchdown and get a 2-point conversion.
Well, they got to get the ball back, and they just lost on the Army. Just recovered the onside, so. I'll tell you what's interesting about this game, and I heard you guys talking a little bit. Yes, they're not the elite athletes in the country, and this isn't, you know, necessarily high-level football. But Gary Danielson brought up something interesting a little while ago, and it makes perfect sense why this game is fun to watch, because none of these guys are elite athletes, elite football athletes, but they're both pretty evenly matched on both sides of the ball. There's no real X-factor player that separates one team from the other. And that's what makes it fun to watch, in my opinion, is that you got guys on both sides of the ball that are fairly equal. They're not any – not one guy is necessarily light years better than the other. And that makes for a fun competitive game and, obviously, you know, the age-long rivalry going on.
Oh, no. And, yeah. And can you imagine you join – either of these forces, which is amazing, and I appreciate all these people that do it. And then all of a sudden, people are like, hey, listen, we can take you in this direction too, but you did play, you know, high school sports, this, that, whatever. Would you be interested in being on the Army or Navy football team? I mean, come on. I mean, if you join our armed forces and you have this opportunity, are you not taking it?
Well, I think you take it every time. I mean, actually knowing from my days recruiting in college athletics, one of my good coaching friends coached at the Air Force Academy, and I mean, we're talking about women's volleyball, obviously. A lot of women don't want to go and serve because they've got this image of what's going on. But I think that that's probably the only thing to scare someone off. But I tell you what, if I was ever offered an opportunity to go to any academy, you are insane not to take it. I'm sorry. You are insane because that's an opportunity of a lifetime. You talk about getting a degree from one of the most prestigious institutions in the country. And by the way, you get a job right out of college guaranteed for at least 5 to 7 years, getting paid buco bucks. And if you ever wanted to leave, you are immediately hireable in the private market. Almost anything you want to apply for. These guys have it made. These guys we're watching on TV have it made for life. And they deserve every bit of it.
Well, I miss what happened. Did they screw up the second point, 2-point conversion, or the kick?
They missed on the 2-point conversion.
Okay, because I'm talking to a friend of mine, and he had to move with his sister down south.
Yeah, but if they get 8 points somehow, they can tie it up. You know what I mean? So it's still like a good game.
3rd and 11.
Right.
For Army. Navy used their timeouts. 3rd and 11, 2:36 left. Did you see the play where the Army linebacker stripped the quarterback?
No, I didn't watch that.
Oh, what a great play. What a great play. The linebacker's blitzing. He comes clean on the quarterback for Navy. The Navy quarterback sidesteps him. The Army guy swipes his arm, whacks the ball to the quarterback's arm. The ball bounces right in front of him. He runs it in on a scoop and score, and that's what gave Navy the 17-point. What an individual play. That guy's going to be a hero.
No, but that's the this type of game that one play might make a difference. Really?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I think both teams in this type of a game, if you lost it to one play, like an exceptional performance play by one individual, both teams are going to appreciate that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that kid's going to be a hero if they win this game. Because that was the difference.
Well, we have, coming up after this game, we're going to be having the Heisman Trophy announcement. A lot of quarterbacks are, I think there's like four quarterbacks that are up for it. They're all saying the guy from, is it UCLA or LSU?
No, you're talking about Caleb Williams.
No, he's out. He didn't make the final.
Oh, nice. Good.
Yeah, well, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner did not make the final five. So Caleb Williams is out.
Isn't that ironic?
Well, they were just talking about the guy from LSU, so he's out?
No. USC, the guy is out.
Oh,
so
no,
Jaden Daniels.
Was the guy that they were talking about.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels won the O'Brien quarterback award, so he might be the front runner. But we're going to see, obviously, tonight.
Yeah, you know, I wonder what... You know, that Heisman Trophy, you know, it is kind of crazy, but not very many Heisman Trophy winners go to the NFL, and those that do don't really do as well as they're supposed to. I mean, there are very few of them that are very successful in the NFL. I mean, it goes
right
to show you the difference between college ball and pro ball. Really is. I mean, that's a monster of a gap. I mean, they're not even in the same food group. These are two different sports, almost, in a way.
I think Seth and I can probably recall a few Heisman Trophy winners drafted by the Lions that didn't work out, right?
Hey, dude. Why don't you draft wide receivers and tight ends for the next 8 years and see how that works out? Oh, I know how it works out.
Well, you know, I mean...
Chuck it long.
No, that was the last quarterback or one of the better quarterbacks that we drafted. Andre Ware was the last one that we really drafted in the high spot.
Yeah.
But we drafted
Andre Ware,
wide receivers and tight end for like 6 years in a row that you're like, oh, hey, Mike Williams, he opted not to play his last year in college. He questioned early his thing for his eligibility, like Maurice Claret. If anybody remembers either of these players, either of these scenarios in the NFL do not end up well. So, yes.
You know what's sad? If you think about today's NFL, and I'm making an assumption. Oh, man, Navy just got a huge play. I'm making an assumption here. But today's NFL, Seth, you remember, Andre Ware probably would have been pretty darn successful in today's NFL, wouldn't he?
Andre Ware, in any other organization but where he ended up, would have been successful. Somewhat. He'd have had a career, right?
He had Barry Sanders in the backfield with him.
No. I felt so bad for Andre Ware. He was screwed. Chuck Long was screwed.
Chuck it long.
Anybody on that organization, you went there.
Barry Sanders.
No, No, Steve Mariucci never coached again.
Yeah.
Steve Mariucci.
Well, you know, getting
it's
back to
like
this game
like
here.
Not like a light coach that you can talk about.
Viper, you're a coach. Why would you go for two at that time when if you made it, you're only down by a touchdown, 7 points? Why would you go for two that early? I mean, the Navy just gave
well,
up.
I
understand you want to try to win it and just get a touchdown. You don't have to get an extra point, but you got to wait till you get to the river before you start crossing the bridge.
Yeah, that didn't make a whole lot of sense, but they're within striking distance. They're in the red zone.
I know,
Navy is moving the ball. 30 seconds left. This is actually exciting.
Well, you're way ahead of me. So if they score, don't tell me. You're way ahead of me. But, I mean, they still got to make another two-point conversion. And
yep.
Yeah, I always take the two-point conversion as soon as you can with the opportunity, and it lets you know what you have to deal with later. Don't set yourself up at the end for the win, and you have to make that two-point conversion.
Right.
And you don't. And then there's no time on the clock, people.
26 seconds left.
Oh, wow. I got
second and goal, ball at the 8.
Well, don't tell me if they score or anything because you're way ahead. You're on 26. I got 57 seconds. You're 30 seconds ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Ay-yi-yi.
Ball to 6. My fault.
But, I mean, no, you're right, Seth. I mean, you don't you make it the last resort. You don't make it the first response, you know.
Right.
I mean, there's times to be conservative and times to be –
Oh,
you
no, and hey, if you fail it at certain points, and now you know you're down by 2 scores, a touchdown and a field goal, but you get those even without the extra point, you win, then that's cool. At least you know it then, you know. Don't figure it out at the end and be like,
yes.
We lost.
Well, I would like to see some OT. We saw an Army-Navy game.
Army-Navy, come on. We're close.
Come on.
They got that first down. Is he in? Is he in?
Don't say nothing.
They don't call it. They're not.
Okay, he got that first down. That was a first
what
down.
Is the call? Oh, my God.
Wait, and look at all that time on the clock. Like, you effort.
Oh, God. Come on, first and goal. They're on the 6.
You're way behind, Steve.
It's getting easy.
I know. That's the link I got.
No,
link. I don't have television, so I got to go by, you know, these links. And this link that I got and I sent you, Viper, this is much better. You don't have any pop-ups. You don't have none of the junk. You don't have any interruptions during the, you know, like the link will give out and you got to refresh. So I found it last week by accident.
Nice.
Glad I did. Come on, throw it. Do something. What are you throwing? What are you doing? I mean, you're just throwing the ball way up in the air. You hit the friggin' goalpost, man. Dude.
You are way behind,
Skeet. I know. He almost hit the right.
It's about to get really interesting.
Come on. I got high blood pressure. I can't handle this. Now, guys, come on. Now, don't do this to me. Come on. Just do something. Okay, now you're on the 1.
With no timeouts.
No timeouts, and the ball goes flying. They're dropping in. I mean, what the hell was that? Are there Keystone Cops? I mean, they're dropping the ball, wasting time on the clock. Oh, they're trying to do the old Philly, whatever you call that, the brotherly push or whatever?
The push.
I think they got it. One guy looks dead in the end zone. Come on, boys. 45 minutes of instant replay.
If they stop them, it's over on downs. Still being reviewed on my TV, by the way.
No, he got it.
Still being reviewed? You're that far ahead of me and it's still being reviewed? What are they looking for? Oh. Well, see, he's at the very bottom of that pile. And it looks like he went over him. The overhead version, it does look like he got over. But now he's on the 1 foot line. Well, anyway, while we're waiting for that, real quick, give an update here on our scores before we get to the picks. We're 6:31. We're already at the time, but that's all right. We can make it up. We're good. We know how to do that. Viper is in the lead at 118. I'm in second at 104. So that's a 14-point deficit. Brother X is at 102, and Seth is catching up. He's at 100. He had a good, Seth, you're catching up, buddy. You're catching up.
Oh, I'm not worried. I'll be in second place by the end of the year. So it's fine.
I don't know. Well, I have my problem is the long shots, and I know. There's going to be upsets, but this week, I don't know. I think if there's going to be any upsets, if Seattle upsets San Francisco. It's going to be inconsequential, one, but it is going to say a lot more about Frisco than Seattle. Seattle, you're not going to no playoffs. And even if you do sneak in, please, you're not going to do anything with it.
No.
The ruling is he came up short.
No, and what really sucks for Seattle is you – look at two of their receivers that might be some of the top five best receivers in the NFL, and no one ever hears about them. And you happen to see one of them the other day get three touchdowns and get like almost 200 yards or whatever it was, but he ran one of the fastest plays past the Miami players that run the fastest plays. And he ran like 22.3 miles per hour on that touchdown, on that one run. And that man is not a small person. He is like 6'5 and 250 or something. And he ran full speed. And it was one of the most impressive touchdowns I've ever seen. That, like, F all of you, I am bigger, faster, stronger than you, and no one can even touch me. That was awesome.
Well, real quick, have you guys been hearing the talk of Gruden coming back to the Raiders? Well, at first, I thought it was a little suspect, and then I started reading more. And here's why I think they're trying to push that, is because this Gruden's lawsuit goes into court January 10th. And if that is the case, the NFL is going to have to, it's going to come out who leaked those emails. Well, I think everybody knows that it was Roger Goodell that leaked those emails, and those are your private emails that should never have been leaked. John Gruden is right, and he has a lawsuit, But if he comes back, he has to get rid of that lawsuit. So I think the NFL is trying to do a fast one. Putting back in, but look, the NFL has got to be punished for what they did. Goodell has to be punished for what he did. You can't do that. Those are private emails, private conversations that, I'm sorry, but privacy is privacy. And you just can't do it. And if the NFL is going to get it, well, they just got a safety. Well, if the NFL is going to do this, get away with it this time, then that means they can do it to anybody. And it's got to be stopped. So it's kind of difficult. I want to see Gruden back, and Davis wants him back. He didn't want him to leave. But if he comes back, he's going to have to get rid of that lawsuit. If he gets rid of that lawsuit, then the NFL is going to be able to do this again and again and again and again. Something's got to happen. You know, so, but I think the game passed Gruden up. I really do. And Gruden's not a very good talent picker. He's a good coach, but he can't be. And the problem was in Oakland the last time is he picked his own GM, but the GM was saying, before I made a move, I had to clear it through John first. So you put John on a team that's picked by somebody else, I think he can do a good job. But I don't want to see him coming back right now because he's going to have to give up that lawsuit. And you give up that lawsuit, and the NFL has look, something's got to happen. What they did is wrong, period. Whether it's the NFL or whether it's you worked at McDonald's. Privacy is privacy is privacy, man. Midshipmen lose again. I'm turning this off. I can't even watch anymore. And I'm not going to watch them sing their fight song. I'm not even going to watch that anymore. I'm disgusted. So,
come on now, Steve. We're all on the same team. We're all on the same team here.
Yeah. No.
This is America.
I want the Navy to win just once. Come on, man. I mean, they used to. It used to be Navy was dominant.
Next year.
Navy used to be dominant for years.
No, then, it's not happening today. Next year.
But anyway, real quick, I mean, have you guys heard anything about what this Gruden, and what are your thoughts on it?
I actually heard Gruden was going to college, but
I heard that
again,
too.
That could just be conjecture.
Well, no, there was talk about him going. It was a sub. I don't know what kind of college it was. It wasn't a. I don't think it was a big college, but. I don't know. Coming back to the NFL. I don't know. Maybe a couple more years. Well, what happened to his brother? His brother's not in the NFL anymore. Jay Gruden. Well, he was a head coach of the Redskins for a while, and then I don't know where he's at. But, well, anyway, we got to get to these picks. Now, Seth, you got your numbers ready?
Yes.
All right, we got Detroit in Chicago. Now, if Detroit allows Chicago to win, I know Chicago, you've been huffing and puffing. But if Detroit loses to Chicago, I'm going to have no choice but become a homicidal maniac. So what are the numbers on this?
Before I say the numbers, this game is way closer than you think.
I know.
The Detroit Lions are playing against the Chicago Bears. The Bears at home are getting 3 points, and the over-under is 43.
Yeah, when I saw that 3 points, I saw that about 4 or 5 days ago, and I was like, that seems a little low, but not really.
No, Detroit should have lost in Detroit against Chicago in their last game. It took a miracle at the end to bring it out. So, yes.
Well, no, I think that that spread is about right. This is going to be a well, they're playing in Chicago, which used to mean something, but I still think Detroit has this. So, Viper, what's your take on it?
Well, I know why the point spread is what it is. Detroit's been hemorrhaging a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. And that's got to be a little concerning still. But the real concern is the all-pro, probably the best, second-best center in the league, Frank Ragnow, is out. And he got injured in the last game. And that forces Dan Skipper into the game, which forces a rookie right tackle and Sorzall into the game. And that's where the protection starts to break down. And I think that's the concern right now. So it's a little bit of twofold, a little bit on the offensive side of the ball, a little bit of the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I do think the Bears are just destined to lose. I just think they don't know how to win. And any defensive coordinator worth their salt is going to know they're going to run Justin Fields, and they're going to want to throw the ball to A.J. Brown. I mean, it's not hard to figure out the Bears. It really isn't. So the question is going to be, is Detroit going to be able to exploit them and not fall asleep and fall behind and have to come back? I don't think they're going to take it lightly. I think Dan Campbell was happy with the win against the Saints last week, but he quoted it very well. It was a good win, but it wasn't good enough. And so the standard is there from Campbell and the staff. And I think a steady diet of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery win this game. I think it's just going to be Detroit running the football, eating up the clock, and not being surprised by a return of Justin Fields. I think Detroit does win it. I think they either win by the spread or they beat it slightly.
Well, look, Detroit can't afford to lose right now. Well, actually, nobody can afford to lose right now. Nobody. And, you know, this is crunch time. There's going to be a lot of broken hearts come Monday morning. I mean, there's going to be, you know, you cannot afford to lose right now. And if you do, well, then you just screw up your playoff chances. So, yeah.
Hey,
I got,
what's up?
I got your daughters in my car.
Jesus. Okay.
I got Detroit. Brother X has Detroit. Viper's got Detroit. Seth, I know you hate Detroit, but who do you got?
Well, no, I don't hate anything on this lifetime planet. I greatly dislike things. And that would be the Detroit Lions. Here is where it's going to be really interesting is that they know that they're supposed to beat the Bears. The Bears know they're supposed to lose. This is division rival. The Bears are going to try extra hard. All these extra weird things that you're thinking of or whatever. And all I'm saying is I'm going with Detroit. But if they lose this game to the Bears, watch what happens at the end when it comes to them going to a playoff, sneaking in, whatever. They're not gonna win a playoff game if they don't beat the Bears in Chicago in this type of weather. Now this type of weather is gonna be weird. It's gonna be windy. And Chicago is a windy city. So you're throwing a football, I'm telling you. Besides that, if Detroit does not win this game, Detroit will not win their second playoff game in their history in the Super Bowl era.
Well, yeah, they're...
That's a lot of what-ifs, don't you think?
Right. Did you like
it? I'll tell you this much. Detroit's only losses this year have been the teams above 500.
And then you look at a team like Miami with all their wins, they don't have a win with a team above 500, right?
Well, same with Dallas, same with Philadelphia.
But we always talk about this every week, dude. Do not to your competition to a weakness to a certain point. You win. You just flat out win. That's what you do. Worry about everybody else later on telling you all these crazy, stupid stats, right? You're 6-3, you're 8-4, whatever.
Well, I mean, Philly really hasn't played anybody. Dallas really hasn't played anybody. But this game, this Sunday night game, oofta. This is gonna be a fun game, but we're gonna get to that later. Right now, we've got Carolina in New Orleans. Now, as far as I know, Carr, I think, is still injured. Is he not?
I think in this game it doesn't even matter. But the Carolina Panthers are playing against the New Orleans Saints, the eighth. The Eagles are giving away 6 points, and the over-under is 38.5.
Yeah, I really want to pick Carolina. I don't know why. They're awful. But
they got one win, Skeet, so this is the type of team that you go on these hunches. I kind of feel your hunch.
Well, the win that they got, I picked. I picked it. And, I just see New Orleans slipping and sliding a little bit. I know they came out swinging, but I think they're running out of gas. And I think Carolina is just playing for pride.
This is why it's a schedule type of thing. And you see certain teams that are going to be 6-6 and whatever at a certain point. They played Carolinas. You don't realize it. You know what I mean? They're not the same strength. Strength of schedule in the NFL is a really weird thing compared to NCAA football. I can tell you that. But I do like what they do with parity, so it's okay. They do a good job.
Viper, who wins this football game?
This is Carolina?
Yeah, Carolina, New Orleans. I mean, it's an inconsequential game. I mean, I know New Orleans is still kind of half-ass in it to win their division, but...
Yeah. It's going to be an ugly game anyway, you slice it with Carr and concussion protocol. I mean, you're talking about James, speaking of Heisman Trophy slops, James Winston, going against Bryce Young, who's a flop yet, still unknown. But speaking of Heismans, we got a couple of former winners here. I'm going to say it's probably going to lean towards the Saints simply because I think their defense is a little bit better than Carolina. But I think the Saints do edge this one out. It's going to be a flip-flopping diet of Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. And I just, Carolina just is out. I can't pick them.
Both Hill and Carr are out. So they've got Jameis.
Oh, Hill's
Winston.
Out as well?
Yep. So Winston is questionable. Yeah, he's questionable. You got four quarterbacks.
But here's the thing with the New Orleans Saints now is they have always a talented offense and defensive unit every single year that no one ever appreciates. And when they have a spectacular quarterback, they're always in the playoffs. When they don't have a spectacular quarterback, they're not in the playoffs. And that's why they took Carr. And I laughed. Not laughed. I'm actually a Carr fan, but come on, dude. I don't know. I'm hoping he would work out here, but he's already hurt, and now he's not even playing, right? So there you go. Get used to that.
I think Carolina put in Andy Dalton again, a redheaded stranger.
No, you and your redhead stepchilds, please don't talk about that. Skeet, let's go on. Let's go to the next game.
Oh, come on. You guys are all haters, man. I like my Andy Dalton.
Yeah. I went to New Orleans. Yeah, let's just go.
Oh, God, I love it. Well, you know, I think Smart Money is New Orleans. So, Viper, you went to New Orleans. Seth, you're going to New Orleans. Brother X went to New Orleans.
Yes.
God, I really want to pick Carolina.
Well,
I don't know why. So I'm going to do it.
You know, they're a safe bet.
New Orleans is a safe bet, but I don't do safe. I color outside the lines.
I'm just trying to leave my score,
but
that's fine. I'm getting closer. I'm so much closer. I've really made up.
I'm going to help you out. I'm going to throw you a bone, Seth, and I'm going to make you one more game closer to second place.
Right. I know.
And now we got Houston at New York Jets. Now, this is crazy because the Jets, Rippon went to Seattle's practice squad and then was – released, and then the Jets got him, but they're going to start Wilson. That's what they're claiming. They're starting Wilson, and they're playing Houston. Oh, poor Jets. In Houston, the way they're playing. What are the numbers on this?
Vinny and the Jets. Maybe.
Yeah, we get Vinny Testaverde back, man. That's what I'm saying. Remember when they pulled him out of retirement? He was retired for like 5 years. And they pulled him back. I mean, here this guy, he shows up in a wheelchair.
I feel like I'm eating carb. Yeah.
I mean, he had to take his dentures out before he went out in the field. But he didn't do too bad, though, Vinny. You know, I mean, of course.
Well, actually, didn't we get back to an AFC championship game?
I don't think so. I mean, the Jets were so awful. The Jets are always awful.
I know, but I think with Vinny, maybe Vinny did it before he came back.
But I remember Mike and the Mad Dog. When they came on and they were talking about Vinny coming back to the Jets, and then, of course, everybody was talking about it. You know, I mean, that was crazy. But anyway, what are the numbers on this? Houston at Jets.
The Houston Texans are playing against the New York Jets. The Jets are getting 3.5 points at home, and the over-under is 33, which is
okay,
very,
so
low.
3.5 points. You're saying Jets might have a chance here.
Well, it's their defense. It's their defense. And let's be honest. People knew the Jets' defense was legit before their quarterback situation, which they knew sucked, which why they got Aaron Rodgers, and then he was out after the first game and won, I don't know, one quarter. So, yeah, that's a Jet. Sauce Gardner in the backfield is one of the best backfield defenders in the league. And I knew when he got drafted and people said, you don't take these people in the top five picks. And the Jets did. I said, Sauce Gardner, you do. Sauce Gardner is amazing. He's a Khalil Mack. He's a Bosa brother. He's whatever.
Yeah. Well, Viper, I mean, how do you pick the Jets if you were going to pick the Jets? I mean, what's your argument to pick the Jets?
I think Seth said it already. I mean, it's got to be the defense. I mean, how many defensive stops do the Jets make when it matters and gives that offense, anemic as it is, a chance to score? I mean, the problem is Houston's got the chance to turn the ball over.
But does the Jets defense, do you think that can counter Houston's offense?
I mean, I think it'll keep it in check. But at the end of the day, the Jets' chances of winning games stems on its defense, not just its ability to stop teams, but to create turnovers. So it puts the offense in advantageous positions. The problem is Houston doesn't turn the ball over very much. I mean, C.J. Stroud is not prone to throw a lot of interceptions. They don't fumble very often.
When you actually talk about, like, one of the most amazing seasons for a rookie quarterback to throw in the NFL, C.J. Stroud right now has to be in this argument. And
right.
What we're doing is pass and meets and bounds what you're even talking about. So, but the thing is what's really amazing, and he's going to see a really good New York Jets defense. So he's really going to experience something, even if he can take the Texans to the playoffs this year. It's to see something that is, wow. There was nothing there. These guys closed these gaps. They did this. If he wins this game, Houston Texans right now in the playoffs, forget about all the AFC craziness because they tested themselves and they're right there right now. But this is going to be a really fun game.
Yeah, I would love to see a competitive, but I don't know. I mean, if C.J. Stroud starts throwing, you know, touchdown passes like as of late has been kind of famous for, especially late in the game, yeah. And then it makes no sense for Rodgers. I don't think Rodgers is coming back because
Well, Rodgers is not coming back this year. It is amazing. We've seen him on the practice field and doing some stuff. There's no reason.
No, if you're not in contention, there is absolutely no reason. And then what happens if he gets hurt again? And then,
no,
you know.
No, but hold on. Can I, if I looked at this situation as the Jets owner, right? I'm like, I got Zach Wilson that I drafted highly, whatever. I got him doing whatever. I just got Aaron Rodgers. So no matter what, with the defense that I acquired, this or that, I'm thinking this is a for sure slam dunk. I'm back in the playoffs. Jet. So, and then all of a sudden, boom, Aaron Rodgers goes out the first game, and you realize Zach Wilson does suck. Zach Wilson sucks, people. He's not a good quarterback. And
no,
even
he's not.
When people are going to be like, oh, maybe he's a second or third string quarterback on a team, and he'll be in the league for 10 years. If you're saying that about a number one quarterback in any round, then you're not. Right.
Well, here's a question. Because see, the Jets, when they got Rodgers, they brought over a lot of free agents and a lot of guys, but they're only on like one year contracts. So, you know, if what happens next year, are the Jets going to be able to retain a lot of these players? You know, I mean, even if you have Rodgers next year and you don't have anybody to play with.
Right. No. That was the thing when the Rams did their thing with Matthew Stafford. They did that whole thing with Detroit. And it was based upon a two-year program. But when I say they put their chips all in the one-year program, yes, they did. And that's what you have to do if you're going to want to win a Super Bowl, because let's be honest, people, there's only 32 teams. And if you ever think that you have the chance to win the Super Bowl that year, you put all your chips in. And
yep.
You're right. And the Rams did it, dude. So no matter what you say about the Rams and this, that, as about an organization that has actually won multiple Super Bowls in different locations and championships, actually way back in the day that people don't know about, that organization, an old organization, and I don't know.
Well, we have Lou, the Jets fan, on board here, so let's bring him on and ask him what's going to happen next year with all of those free agents that came over. If Rodgers comes back, I mean, how intact are the Jets going to be, and is Rodgers, and do the Jets have enough money to go out and buy more players? So, I mean, Rodgers may come back next year with playing with nobody. And so what would be the point? I mean, does Rodgers go to another team next year? I mean, things are going to get crazy here. So let's bring Lou on board. Lou, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday. And what the hell happens to the Jets next year? What are they going to do?
Well, if Rodgers comes back, at least we don't need for Wilson because he's not your man. Boyle sucks. And, you know, and Simeon, we don't know what they're thinking yet because he hasn't done much. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be all discombobulated if Rodgers decides to come back. You know, the Jets have done nothing. We had, you know, such high hopes this year, and then he gets injured, and then everything falls apart. If Rodgers come back, I don't know exactly what, you know, how well he's going to do. I mean, he's re-injured fully, no. So we got, you know, the problem is we just can't not only find a good quarterback, we can't find even a good backup quarterback. That's it. That's the truth.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Rodgers is already starting to, you know, Rodgers has a habit of running off of his mouth. You know, but he's telling the truth or not. He, you know, and he's already scolded the Jets because the Jets were releasing information about Wilson saying this guy is never going to be a starter again. And I don't know why Rodgers is protecting this guy so much, but Rodgers is Rodgers. You know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he beats his own drum. You know, you don't really know where Rodgers is at, number one, and where he's going to be. It's different. But we're just going to have to wait and find out. So, all right, where are we?
I would like to see where Lou's opinion on the Jets against Houston is. Because Houston...
That's where I'm at. Where,
right there. Like one of the best teams.
No, I think maybe they got a chance to beat Houston because I mean, you know, confusing division anyway.
Well, I really want to pick the Jets because I want to see Houston go down. I don't like this team. I'm not a big Stroud fan. I think Stroud, you're having a good rookie season, but next year and the year after, I think he's going to be another Kyler Murray. I think the league is going to figure him out. I'm telling you, Stroud's not going to be around after 5 years.
No.
He'll be there, but he won't be effective. But, I mean, I don't know. Hell, I don't know. I mean, he could take Houston to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, who knows? But, Lou, are you going, are you picking Houston or Jets?
No, I'm going with the Jets.
You're going with the Jets. Well, good for you. And Seth, where are you going? You like the Jets.
No, I'm going to Houston.
Oh, God. I got to be the only one besides Lou.
And then do that prop.
Going the Jets. Well, let me ask you something, Lou.
Yes.
If you're going to pick the Jets, why are you picking the Jets over Houston? Sell me on why I should pick the Jets, because I want to pick the Jets.
Yeah, like, I mean, Houston isn't that strong. That's a terrible division. I think if the Jets have any chance of winning any game this year, it's got to be here. You know, and I don't know if Houston's going to handle our weather conditions tomorrow. I think they're going to be in for a slot fest. I think it's going to be on our advantage. So when you look at it that way, I do think the Jets have a legitimate chance of being Houston. So to put it this way, Houston, you're going to have another problem.
All right. I'm going to go to the Jets. Screw it. I don't care. I'm too far behind becoming first. So I'm going to pick the Jets. They got to do it. And they're playing at home. They're playing in New York.
Yeah.
So, all right, Seth. We've got Indianapolis in Cincinnati. Now, I know Cincinnati, you won last week. Okay, boop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop. I don't really think it was really so much Cincinnati winning the game as Jacksonville just had a bad hair day. And, of course, you know, Lawrence got hurt and this and that. Well, Lawrence, well, he's questionable. Who knows if he's coming back or not. But I still don't think Cincinnati is that strong of a team. What do the numbers say on this?
It is the Indianapolis Colts, which still, I'm so old, I want to say the Baltimore Colts.
I call them Baltimore all the time, too.
Against the Jacksonville Jaguars. No, it's against the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm sorry. And the Bengals are -2. And the over-under is 44.
Well, you know, see, this is kind of a critical game for Indianapolis.
And Cincinnati. And Cincinnati.
It is Cincinnati as well.
You're going to go to the playoffs, probably. If you don't win this game, you're not going to lose. Because this is going to be a tiebreaker, dude.
Look at this. We're going to talk about the Buffalo game coming up. Now, if Buffalo wins, which is going to be kind of hard, but if they do win, they're going to be tied. Right now, you've got the Buffalo is at 6-6. You've got Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Houston tied at 7-5. So they're going to be the second wild card. You're looking for there's going to be two wild cards. One of these guys is going to get a wild card, and one of them ain't. And right now, Cleveland, you got four teams, and Indianapolis knows that. Indianapolis is only one game behind Jacksonville, and if Jacksonville loses, and they could very well lose this week.
Yeah.
They could very well lose. And if that's the case, then they're going to be tied with Jacksonville for the division. So this is a must-win. Well, it's a must-win for just about everybody who's anywhere close to contention. You cannot afford to lose. And Indianapolis knows that, and you're playing Cincinnati, who's at 6-6, which would make them at 7-6. But you're going to have to hope that Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Houston lose so you could be right there with them. And you got to hope that Buffalo doesn't win. So, yeah, this is a, I hate to say it, a playoff game, but it is a game to get into the playoffs.
It's a playoff game to get into the playoffs.
But it is. It's a playoff game to see who gets in the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
What?
I'm sorry. I had to play that. I haven't played that cut in a long time. But anyway, what did you say the spread was again, Seth? 3 points?
Two.
So Indianapolis is favored by two.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, Viper. Who wins this game?
I got to tell you, for all the whining about the Jets not having a backup, that Jake Browning impressed me last week. I mean, he wasn't just the beneficiary of managing a game. That kid made throws. He made some really, really good throws. Now, he's got great targets, too. You got T. Martin. You got Jamar Chase. He's got great tight ends. But that kid made some throws. He really impressed me last week, I have to admit.
Yes.
I think if they can keep him, they'll be lucky, because I think he made a strong push to say, hey, I'm a starting quarterback. I'm ready. I need my shot. So I actually think that the Bengals are going to win this. It's going to be close, but it's outside at Cincinnati. Minshew has a propensity to hemorrhage turnovers. If Browning can put together the same game he did last week, I think the Bengals can win this game. And I think it's going to require a steady diet of Joe Mixon running the ball to keep some of the pass rush off him. But this kid impressed the heck out of me. I'm not going to lie. I think the Bengals are going to win this game.
Well, no, I understand exactly where you're coming from, and you're right. And Cincinnati still has weapons. They just need to know how to use them, and they need that front line to step up. Give the quarterback the time to throw the ball. And, hey, look, I think this kid is – he's applying for a job for another team because, look, Cincinnati's already locked into Burrow. He's getting $50 million a year. They're not going to get rid of him. So Brownie is hoping that maybe there's a trade somewhere. somewhere that he can get a starting job. So he's going to go out and he's going to give it his A game. He's going to give it A game. And I like that pick, Cincinnati. Seth, what is your pick?
I look at that Browning in his last performance. Even if you say, like, oh, this guy doesn't know whatever this that. I think he was 32 for 37. No, he's going to be okay. I'm going Cincinnati.
All right. Another good pick. Okay, Lou.
Okay.
Lou.
Yeah, which team are we on?
Minneapolis, Cincinnati.
I'm going to go with...
Indy.
I'm going to go
Colts and
Bengals.
Colts.
Well, Brother Edward, Indy, too. And I can see this. I can see, look, either one of these teams could beat either one of these teams tomorrow. And I know it's only 2 points. I mean, I guess you can call it a pick-em. I guess you can do this. You can do whatever you want. But you convinced me, and I did really like how Browning came out and played. I really did like it. And I think Cincinnati got a little bit of a resurgence. So, you know, it might get into the playoffs. They're not going to go that far. But, hey, look, again, Browning, he's applying for a job. And he's telling everybody in the NFL, here I am. And if you want me, all you got to do is trade.
Oh, no. And you hit a touchdown pass to Chase. And it looks so clean. Yeah. Yes, drink crap.
Yeah.
Yes, drink crap.
Seattle, a guy like Browning, but we'll get into that later. But anyway, this next game, now this is going to be a good game. Now, Lawrence is questionable. Looks like he kind of practiced a little bit Friday. So we'll find out whether he's going to play or not. But this is a must win for teams. Jacksonville, Cleveland. Cleveland needs to win. Jacksonville needs to keep their lead. Want to go to the playoffs. They have to win. This is a must win for both teams. Seth, what are the numbers?
The Jacksonville Jaguars are playing against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns at home are giving away 3 points. And the over-under is 33.
Well, and the Browns defense has not really been the Browns defense the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, there is no Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's out this week.
Yeah, but Cleveland, the way he played last week, that was in another game last couple weeks ago. And, you know, if your defense is on, you can beat Jacksonville, and especially if Lawrence is out. Now, I don't know who their backup is.
No one does. That's why they're going to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. No way they're going to win.
So the philosophy is if you don't know who the backup is, they're going to lose.
Well, it's
yes. Better. Yes.
They've got they just brought up a guy named Nathan, but it looks like Beth, who's been in the league for about 8 years or so, looks like, because he played last start.
No. In South Florida and you have a Jewish last name, then I can't believe in a miracle right now for your team to win. When your starting quarterback went out, I can't. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, C.J. Beathard is the guy that came in.
Came in, he had to replace him. But, yeah, I'm going Cleveland on this. Brother X went Cleveland. Viper, where are you on this?
Yeah, I'm going with the Browns. The Browns defense is solid. And Flacco's has come in and managed to stabilize the offense. I think I got to go Browns.
Well, you know, Flacco had a great game last week. If their defense had
surprisingly,
their defense,
yes,
they would have won the game. No, Flacco, I thought, played a great game last week. And he gave them.
For him, yes.
What'd they score? 35 points, 38 points, or whatever it was? You scored enough points,
yep,
to win the game.
And that's what counts.
You scored enough points to win the football game, but your defense gave it up. So you can't blame their offense. You can't blame Flacco. So we'll find out. But I think you're right. Okay, so Lou, where are you on this? Cleveland or Jacksonville?
Yeah, kind of a toss-up. But I think I'm gonna go with the Browns.
Yeah, and well, here's the thing. I mean, if Jacksonville loses, and they may want to try to play Trevor Lawrence, but if Jacksonville loses, then Indianapolis, if Indy wins, then they're going to be tied. And if Houston wins, you're going to have three ties at 8-5.
Okay.
You know, and so, again, another playoff to get into the playoff game. So, Seth, where are you on this?
No, on this game, I got Cleveland. And they're going to win big.
All right, we're kind of running a little bit late. We got a lot of games. There's only a couple of guys, so we got a rapid fire here for a little bit. This is Rams at Baltimore. This should be an easy game. Seth, what are the numbers?
Oh, wait, the Rams at Baltimore?
Yep.
No, it's Chicago.
No, I got Rams and Baltimore.
Oh.
Well, here's what it is. Ravens are favored by 7.5. And let's see what the over-under is. The over-under is 39.5.
I got the Rams at Chicago. That's what I got.
No. We already know the Lions are playing in Chicago, so that's not accurate. So,
well, they might have changed up the schedule the last second, so I don't know what the now numbers are.
7.5. The Ravens are favored by 7.5, and the over-under is 39.5.
Oh, no. Who are the teams that are playing?
The Rams and Baltimore.
Wow. Great game. All right. Well, there you go.
I went Baltimore. Brother X went Baltimore. Viper, I mean, this seems like a game that Baltimore should win. But L.A., you know, kind of don't trust them a little bit. I mean, they can win a game when they want to. How do these two teams realistically match up as far as offense, defense? How do these two teams match up, Rams and Baltimore? Viper? Did we lose Viper?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had mute on. I really don't – I don't think this matches up well for the Rams. The Rams' run defense is a little bit sketchy, and you got to stop the run to beat Baltimore. They're playing in Baltimore, which is always advantage Ravens. It's actually a tougher pick than I would have thought. The Rams' offense is kind of starting to come around a little bit. Baltimore's playing at home. They came off a bye week. It's probably tighter than the point spread, but I think being at home and playing a little bit early is going to be an advantage Baltimore. I'm going to go with the Ravens, even though I don't like the Ravens.
Well, you know, the Ravens are right now second overall in defense. They've moved up.
Right.
Moving on up. So, and yeah, the Ravens are right now, they're on cruise control. And, you know, they're doing it. I hate to pick Baltimore because I do hate Baltimore. I hate them. But I hate the Rams, too. But, you know, I'm in Vegas. I got a gun to my head. Yeah, I'm going to pick Baltimore. Lou, who are you picking on this?
Ravens.
Yeah, Seth?
I'm picking the Ravens.
Ravens it is. Ravens are going to win. Everybody's picking Ravens, so the Rams are going to win. So the next game, Tampa Bay in Atlanta. Now, I know this could be an inconsequential game, but not really, because the division that they're in, I mean, it's a subpar division and has been for a long time. Well, actually, since Brady left, but Tampa's just not doing what you wanted him to do when they started off doing so good this year. And Atlanta is very schizophrenic. You don't know what they're going to do, but they're playing in Atlanta, and Atlanta has a bad habit of winning in Atlanta. This is not going to be – this is not an easy pick. Me and Brother X went over this game for like about an hour. So what are the numbers on this, Tampa Bay in Atlanta?
Oh, no, I'm trying to look. Okay, so the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to play against the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are giving away 2 points, and the over-under is 41.
Yeah, Buccaneers are 5-7, Falcons 6-6. Pretty well matched. Atlanta wants to keep the right now. Atlanta is at 6-6, and they want to keep the top position. Well, if Tampa wins, then they're both tied, and if New Orleans wins, then they're all three going to be tied. So that could be fun, but I think Tampa Bay in one respect has kind of overachieved, because nobody expected Tampa Bay to win really anything. I mean, they're not really winning a lot, but I mean, you didn't expect them to win as much as they have. And Atlanta being schizophrenic, you don't know what they're going to, and they have been for years.
Yeah.
They really have been. So Viper, I mean, what do you do with a game like this? I mean, a two point spread is a division game. Tampa is one game behind. I mean, Atlanta's on a two game winning streak. Tampa's on a one game winning streak. So how do you decipher this? How do you decide?
Well, it's definitely going to be a defensive struggle. I mean, it's possible we're looking at a sub-20-point win for whoever wins. I mean, has overachieved, I think, a lot of its due to their defense. Their defense is really solid. I mean, it really is. And they've given us problems all year and kept themselves in the game because of it. The offense is a little anemic. It's a little schizophrenic. Sometimes it's
wow, you
good
really
and
break
so
it up.
Clicking. Yeah, I've been listening to you guys too. It's been breaking up on your end. But yeah, it's an ugly game. It's going to be an ugly game. I'm going to take the Falcons at home. They've been 2-0 since Vic Ritter back at starter, and I just think that they're a little bit more stable football team. I think they're a little hungrier right now.
Yeah, well, Tampa Bay, you're 23rd in offense and 27th in defense, whereas you have the Falcons that are 18th in offense and 10th in defense. So the Falcons are just that much gooder. That much. Just a smidgen. That's all it is a smidgen. So
and like when you said smidgen, can I just say like schmutz? Like
yeah.
I want schmutz on things. If you said smidgen, because now you said smidgen, it's fine.
It's just a smidgen, just a tiny little itty bit. And, you know, but I think it could be a good football game because it is a game that both teams want to win. They have to win. So,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's pretty much it's an inconsequential game, but not really. Not for them. For the rest of the league it is, but not for them. So, all right, Seth, who wins the game?
I had Cincinnati, right?
No, Tampa Bay and Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta.
Okay. And Lou, who wins this game?
I'm going to go with the Yucks, a Bucks.
You going to go with who?
The Bucks. I was trying to make a joke out of it.
Over the Bucks. I like that pick. I want to pick them. I really do. I really want to see Mayfield do good because I want to see him back into the commercials.
Right.
He's got to start winning. But every time I pick Atlanta to win, they lose.
That's what I do with the Bears.
I might want to pick Tampa Bay. You know, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to – I know it's stupid. Stupid.
No.
But I'm going to pick Tampa Bay. Now, the next game should be very easy. It's a 455 million-point spread. Seattle and San Francisco. Oh, yeah, I hate to ask what the numbers are. I already know what they are. But give it to us anyway, Seth.
Seattle Seahawks are playing against the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are giving away 13 points, and the over-under is 46.5. 13 points at this time of the year in a playoff season at the end. 13 points, giving you URF, Seattle Seahawks.
Well, when you have Drew Locke, who is now back to Geno Smith, which sucks, and now they're going to go against the strongest, I do believe, San Francisco, pound for pound, inch for inch, is the strongest, best team in the NFL right now. I mean, that's just my opinion, but I really do believe
Debo Samuel just proved that recently, before that, was Seattle a freaking Who is he? Duckett? T.J. Duckett?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Wow. These big-ass people are fast and are amazing. Like, it just happened in 2 weeks in a row.
I mean, you know, my Seahawks are my team, but I can't pick them. I can't do it. Viper, I mean, I can't even ask you how Seattle could win this game. And there's only one way. We get a meteorite that falls on the San Francisco's bus and wipes out the entire freaking team.
Well, it's known to happen there, but...
So...
I don't see the meteorite coming in. I mean, it's just...
No.
Think about this. Most games you'd say if the starting quarterback gets knocked out. Well, that doesn't work. And Sam Darnold is not a terrible backup. I mean, you know,
oh, you're really breaking up. Really
bad. Yeah, you're breaking up, man.
Yeah, sometimes if you're near your computer, if you're on a phone and you're near your computer, it does that. Why? I don't know. I just know it does that. That's all I know. But anyway, while we're waiting for Viper to come back, Lou, there's no chance for Seattle, is there?
No.
Yeah.
They might think that. Well, I've got some beef for property in Florida. I can show you.
Yeah. All right, let's bring Viper back. Viper, let's try this again. Take two.
All right, how do I sound now?
Perfect.
Better.
Yeah, I think I had a bad connection. Even if Brock Purdy goes down, I think San Francisco wins this game. I mean, they're just too solid on both sides of the ball, and I can't see Seattle. They're outgunned. They're outgunned on both sides. So, I see San Francisco probably putting up about 30 or so. Seattle might get in the mid to upper teens, and that's going to be the way the game's going to go.
Well, if Seattle had a quarterback, and I've always believed this, and if offense is doing good, the defense will follow. And the defense will pick it up. If the defense is good and the offense is not, the defense is not going to follow that much. They're just not. So you need to have that strong offense to give the defense motivation, keep the score the way it is, to stop the team from scoring. And right now, Seattle's offense, they've got the two greatest receivers, I think, two of the greatest in the game right now. I mean, Metcalf and Lockett, say whatever you want, but those guys are just flat out good. I mean, I could put them up to Tittle and all these other guys. I could put them up with them. They're on the same plane. But when you got a quarterback that can't throw to them, and then you got a defense that's, lagging behind and this and that, and you're not going to win any football games that way. It ain't going to happen. So San Francisco beats them by at least 13. I don't even want to watch the game. It's going to be painful. And all my family back home, we've already been talking about it's going to be painful. I mean, we're going to have, put Novocaine in our chicken fingers and, throw it in our beer and the guacamole. I mean, we're going to need a lot of Novocaine. We're going to need a lot of, opium. We're going to need a lot of painkillers, whatever we can find.
Wow.
It's going to be brutal. San Francisco's going to beat the crap out of them. I don't even see a close game here.
No.
So, Lou, where are you on this?
49ers, no question. 49ers.
49ers and Seth. You ain't got Keyhones big enough to pick Seattle, do you?
This is going to be the biggest blowout of a game you've ever seen.
Well, you know what? Since we're all talking about going to be the biggest blowout, maybe it may not be. If we're all talking about it, we're putting voodoo on it. And
No, see, you can't have a cauldron with a big enough chicken, anything, in your cauldron. No, dude, this is going to be an embarrassment. They are going to destroy you. It's going to be four touchdowns, four.
Well, McCaffrey, I mean, he's going to have a heyday. I mean, he's going to have a career game. I don't even want to watch this.
We just saw what Debo Samuel just did and how they incorporated him back into the offense. Oh, you got Debo and McCaffrey. Good luck. Anybody else against you, good luck.
Well, we got 15 minutes to get through five games, so we're going to have to do some rapid fire here. This is Minnesota in Las Vegas. So real quick, Seth, what are the numbers?
Minnesota Vikings are against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders at home are getting 3 points, and the over-under is 40.5.
Well, I'm going to go Minnesota based on, okay, fine, Dobbs had a bad week. Let's just stop already. He had one bad game. Okay, give me a quarterback that didn't have a bad game. Let's not, put the guy in the gallows because he had one, bad game. All right, whatever. He's playing Vegas. So Vegas, I know you've been winning, but not really. You had one or two wins after your new coach, but you're on a two-game losing streak. I think Minnesota wins this game. I wouldn't say easily, but
no.
I say Minnesota wins it. Viper, what say you?
You know, this one is really intriguing because both teams just love to hemorrhage the ball, and it makes it – and I say both teams.
Yeah.
I mean, Dobbs and O'Connell, we're talking about Dobbs and O'Connell going head-to-head. Now, O'Connell's thrown just one interception and three home starts, and Dobbs has five interceptions in the last two games, both losses. Basically, whoever protects the football better is going to win the game. This is an extremely tough pick. Both teams coming off a bye week on top of it. Obviously, I think the edge in coaching and preparation go to J.J. O'Connell, but I think the Vegas Raiders on the road are going to be a little bit more to handle, especially defensively. Max Crosby is going to give Josh Dobbs fits. I actually think the Raiders are going to squeak this game out, win it by about 3 points.
Now I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at the last two games, and Minnesota lost to Denver and Chicago?
Yep.
That's not good. But
if they were at home, I might pick the Vikings.
Yeah, but I think they're coming off their bye. They might have, worked some things out, got a little healthy, got a little rested, and you're playing the Raiders. Yeah, I think it's going to be I think that 2 point or 3 point spread, I think, is about right. The more I think about it, I think Vegas is going to give them some heartburn. Little Aja, I want to pick the Raiders. I really do. You're going to pick the Raiders. All right, Seth.
I'm picking the Raiders.
You going
Raiders?
I want
the Raiders, yeah.
I want to pick the Raiders. I really do. Okay, Lou, help me out here.
Raiders.
But my first instinct was Minnesota. Maybe I should stay with that. I want the Raiders to win. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a Raider guy.
Okay.
That was my team before we even had the Seahawks. Nobody even heard of a Seahawk. The hell is a Seahawk anyway?
What is a Seahawk anyway?
All right, I'm going to stick with my pick. Screw it. All right, now this next game, this is, yeah, we got some time. We got to talk about this game. This is Buffalo in Kansas City. Now, the Kansas City team, I've always thought this, their strength and their weakness is the same thing. It's because they play very free football. They play backyard football. They don't go by the rules. They play very free and very, very loose, which can win you games, but can also lose you games. Well, Buffalo right now, Buffalo cannot afford to lose. Buffalo loses this game. That's it. They're completely out. They're done. They're wiped. I mean, I don't see a scenario where all these other teams are going to lose and Buffalo is going to somehow sneak in for the second wild card. It ain't going to happen. So Buffalo has to win. I picked Buffalo at first. That's where I went. That's what are the numbers on this, Seth? And then I want to hear everybody else talk. So, Seth, what's the numbers?
The Buffalo Bills play against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs are getting -1. And the under is 48.5.
Expecting a kind of high scoring game and you're saying 1 point? Yeah, there it is. 1 point. Viper, I mean, how far away is my Buffalo pick on this?
It's not far at all. I mean, it's they're coming off a bye, so they're rested. They've had a week to prepare. Kansas City's lost two of their last three. I don't think it's a long shot at all. And we're talking about playing at Arrowhead, which obviously is for the Bills an Achilles heel.
Yep.
But the bye week does the Bills a little bit more preparation, a little bit more rest, and boy, I tell you what, this is probably the toughest game to call. I'm going to go with the Chiefs, but I do not think the Bills are a bad pick at all. I don't.
I'm with you. I mean, this is one of those games that, again, whoever wants it the most is going to win the game. And you don't really know that because you're not in, you know, we can't go into their locker room and we can't hang out with these guys. So we don't really know. But, I mean, come game time, if Buffalo really wants an opportunity to go into the playoffs, this is it. You lose this game, you lose your opportunity, period. It's not going to affect Kansas City. Kansas City's still going to win their division. So if Kansas City loses, it's going to, okay, fine. You know, we brush it off. You know, and go from there. But, Seth, who do you got on this? Seth.
I got Casey Yannis all day long.
All right. And Lou?
Chiefs.
Yeah. Again, I'm going for a long shot. I'm going to get tanked this week. I know. I can tell you right now my picks. I'm getting tanked. I can tell you right now.
I don't think the Bills are a bad pick. I really don't. Just because I'm not picking them doesn't mean they're a bad pick. They're a good pick. They could win this game.
I don't know. I just had my instinct in my first pick was Buffalo only because of the importance of this game, where Buffalo has to win. This is a do-or-die game for Buffalo. And I think they know that. They could win the game. I mean, Kansas City, I think, is a better football team than Buffalo. Pound for pound, absolutely. A better football game, football team. But, you know, Buffalo, you want to go in the playoffs, you got to bring your A game. And no screwing. And Allen, don't give up the ball. Don't cough it up. Don't drop it. Don't throw any interceptions. Don't make one mistake. You make one mistake, and that's it. The game is over. Chiefs will capitalize on your mistakes. You have to play mistake-free football. It's not easy. It's easier said than done. I can sit here drinking my, my strong seltzers and choking on my guacamole. Yeah, it's easy for me to pick. But, well, we'll find out. Anyway, next game, Denver at Los Angeles Chargers. Again, another game. It's not that easy to pick. Seth, what are the numbers?
So, the Denver Broncos are playing against the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are giving away 2.5 points. And the over-under is 44.
Yeah, I mean, I know, Denver, you went on a 4 or 5-game winning streak and you lost last week. Okay. And Chargers, again, you talk about schizophrenic. You don't know what they're going to do. I had a lot of love for Herbert. But, you know, and look at all the $50 million quarterbacks. Not one of them is in the playoffs as of right now. They were to go into the playoffs right now, not one of the $50 million quarterbacks of these teams in the playoffs.
No.
Cincinnati, Buffalo, the Chargers, Geno Smith with Seattle.
Stafford.
Stafford. So, I mean, I think Denver is a little bit, Brother X went hammer down Denver immediately. Viper, I mean, I think Peyton has done a really good job as far as coaching this team and trying to turn this team around, Denver. But there's a lot of things going on with the Chargers that just, I don't know what it is with the Chargers year after year after year after year. I don't know, maybe it's in the water, but they moved from San Diego to L.A.,
yeah.
So you think the water would be different. Well, maybe it ain't. I don't know. But what's your take on this game? This is not really an easy game to really pick. I mean, you could pick either one of these teams, and I think it's a good pick.
Well, I think that, for me, the game is simple, and we're not running out of time, but the home team has won the last 6 of these meetings. Russell Wilson struggles on the road. I think the Chargers came off a hard-fought victory against New England. Obviously, it was ugly, 6-0. But I think Russell Wilson's struggles on the road continue. And Chargers go back home, get a little home cooking. I think they win. I think it's going to be close, but I think they cover the spread.
So, okay, L.A., all right, Seth, real quick. We are running low, but I think we might get a little bit of overtime. But real quick, Seth, Denver or Chargers?
He's going Chargers. He hates
all
Denver.
Right. We'll put him on the Chargers. I hate Denver, too. And I don't know if I want to pick him, but every time I pick the Chargers, they screw me. So I'm going to go Denver. Screw it. Now, I'm going to go to the Monday night game right now. We're going to get this game over with.
I'm going Broncos, too.
You're going Chargers? Okay, good for you, Lou.
Monday night, Packers-Giants?
Yeah, we're going to go the Monday night game right now just so then we can finish off the Sunday night game, which we're going to have to talk a little bit of talking about. Real quick, Seth,
yeah.
Green Bay at Giants. It's a Monday night game. Okay, I got it. Packers are favored by 6.5.
Yep.
Over the Giants.
Green Bay Packers are playing against the New York Giants. The Giants, the G-Men, and the G-Men are getting 6.5 points at home. And the over-under is 36.5, which is horrible.
Well, I kind of like this DeVito. I don't really trust Green Bay. I know they're on a, what, three-game winning streak or whatever the hell they're on.
Yeah.
I don't think Green Bay's that good of a team. I don't think, well, the Giants are not that good of a team. But Viper, real quick, what do you do with this?
I got to go with the Packers. I mean, they are favored by 6.5 for a reason. There's talk of Tyrod Taylor coming back. So DeVito might be out. I think the Packers win this one fairly easy. I don't think it's going to be a struggle. And I think we just move on because there's not much else to talk about. I mean, I'm not going to watch this game. I have no desire to, but I got to go with the Packers.
Yeah, God, I don't want to see the Packers win. I don't like them. All right, Lou.
I don't either.
I'm going to Packers.
Who wins?
But it ain't show friends. It's show business.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm gonna go against the grain here. Seth, you're going Green Bay?
Yeah, I have to, and it sucks going against TV Tommy DeVito, but yeah, I'm going to, because seriously, Jordan Love is the quarterback for the Packers for the next 10 years. And if you look at his stats, just like Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, he has the same exact stats as both of those people, and everybody is already against him. And whatever, get rid of him. He is the Green Bay quarterback. Period. Done.
Well, I think his reign is going to come crashing down. I'm going G-Men just to be ornery. All right. Now, we're supposed to be ending, and hopefully we get a little bit of overtime. This is Philadelphia at Dallas. This is the game of the week. I love this game.
No, it's not. Marcus Mariota's in. Forget it. It's Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas all the way.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? Hurts is out?
Concussion protocol.
Well, I picked Dallas even before I knew that. I already picked Dallas. I did not know Hurts was out. Well, that just solidifies my pick. And, yeah, okay, I feel a lot more confident. I might actually get one this week. I know I'm going to get murderated. I already know it.
Wow.
So, Viper, you're going Dallas?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, again, I mean, now, if this happens, if Dallas wins, they're tied in this division, Dallas and Philadelphia. Which is going to make it great because then we're going to have five more games coming down the pike. And yeah, that's gonna get a little hairy. And I'm loving it. This is what I love. I love that where you've got all of these teams in a division that are tied, and it becomes every game, every play becomes the Super Bowl, every down. And you know it's gonna be great. Okay, Seth, what do you got on this? Dallas or Philly?
The Philadelphia Eagles are playing against the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are giving away 3.5 points, and the over-under is 52.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. You're in Dallas, and there's when you score a team score a touchdown in Dallas, it's always electric, and it just is. And they're going to be flying high. And those two teams hate each other. I mean, the fans hate each other. I mean, there is this isn't just sports hate. This is real, unadulterated, pure hate. I mean, absolute. Hatred.
And actually, if you take this NFC East matchup to a different level, see, if anybody's ever played in Philadelphia, it is one of the worst rated places to play as an opposing player in history.
Oh, no, it always has been.
So... yes. Now you're playing at home. F you. Screw you, Philly. Right?
Yep. So are you going Dallas then, Seth?
100%.
Okay. It's up to you, Lou. Brother X is the
Cowboys.
Only one that went to Philly.
Cowboys.
Cowboys. The boys win it. Well, I did not know that, Viper. I did not know that Hurts was out, but I like that. And I'm going to have to call Brother X. He didn't know it either. So I'm going to have to call him. He may have to. We'll get his pick. But in any event, we're in a little bit of overtime. Hopefully they don't cut us off in the middle here. But thank you, Lou, very much for calling in. And let's get... I lost my thing here. Hold on. I want to promote.
Tennessee in Miami. Do we talk about that?
Right. Exactly.
Tennessee in Miami.
There's nothing to talk about. It's going to be Miami, but.
I didn't even have that game.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Tennessee team against the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins are giving away 13 points. And the over-under is 46.5.
That's the second Monday night game, yeah.
Oh, I did not put it on there. I didn't see that. Okay, so Tennessee and Miami, I didn't see that. Okay. Yeah, I'm going Miami. I don't think we need to talk too much about this game.
Yeah. Derrick Henry's in concussion protocol, too, so likely not playing.
Well,
even if he is, I mean, really doesn't matter.
Miami all the day long, right? For everybody?
Yep, all day long. All the live long day.
Yeah.
And no Derrick Henry for Tennessee. Their only hope, right? Gone.
Well, I didn't have that earlier when I did the schedule. So, okay, well, that's fine. But in any event, thank you very much, Lou. Now, Lou has a show on Saturday nights. It's from 4 to 6 p.m. It's Enhanced Sports Show. And the phone number to call is 512-543-4662. That's 512-543-4662. So here's what you do. You listen to Lou for 2 hours, then you listen to us for another 2 hours, and you've got all the sports that you need. So thank you very much, Lou. Thank you very much, Viper. And, of course, thank you very much, Seth. And we still haven't been cut off
all
yet.
All the listeners.
So thank you very much for all the people in the chat room. We had a few of them tonight. So thank you very much. We'll see you back here next week. 6 p.m. Goodbye, everybody. Okay.